Something today that actually is a little bit of a combination of no Siri, I don't want to talk to you. Thank you. Okay, it's a little bit of a combination of some things that have been stirring in my spirit from right before I left, and then bouncing off of some things that Pastor Omar shared regarding the sons of God and the glory of God that comes after suffering. And when you mention we're suffering, everybody kind of wants to roll their eyes and say, can we just go to lunch, you know? But I want to share something with you today about, and it ties in with something, because what I kept hearing in my heart is about finishing the race. And what does that really look like? And how that's going to be finished? Because I tell you what, guys, no matter whether we're young or old in this room today, if the Lord doesn't come while we're on the planet, then our faith is going to be finished in another generation. Y'all get that? Now, I want to share that with you today because I think sometimes I think we kind of wonder about it. I mean, I believe with all of my heart that we're never alone when we gather together. Not only is Jesus in the midst of us, but the Bible says clearly there's myriads of angels. The Bible says clearly even the cloud of witnesses. Yes. Yeah. As though they would cheer us on, you know? And it's not so that we could celebrate them, it's that we would run the race that is set before us. And can I share a teaching with you today? Are you ready? So let's get into the Word. I really want to share this teaching with you, and I believe it will challenge your hearts. I feel like this is where we are as a church and as a ministry and what God wants to do. Think about this. Through our faith in Jesus, we have become the descendants of Abraham. Everybody understand that? Through your faith in Jesus, we come into that faith seed line. Are you with me? We're not the people of unbelief and doubt and sin. We're the people of faith because we believe. Here's another thing. Because you believe in Jesus, the book of Galatians says, you are blessed with Abraham's blessings. There's a blessing. It's called the blessing that was on Abraham. And it's on the people of God in the name of Jesus. But here's the thing. He was also called the father of our faith. Here's the thing. The blessing isn't placed upon us just to merely bless us, but it's that we would run the race. Amen? See, I believe there's a grand race called faith that began even in the Old Testament. And that faith is still running. It's like a massive marathon. And it will end with the day of the Lord. And I'll show you that in just a moment. Everybody still with me? And so, what we have to decide though, am I running that race in my life? Because all I can do anything about is this vapor of life that I live on the planet. And in comparison to an eternity, truly our lives are but a vapor. As the psalmist said. And in comparison to the Alpha and the Omega in eternal realms, I mean, our lives of, you know, some 60, some 70, 100 plus years, whatever, are nothing. I mean, it's just, you can't even measure it when you look at eternity, infinity, right? Everybody there? And so, to understand that, but here's the thing I want to tell you today. The race is set before every one of us. It's set before us. In other words, it's not automatic because you prayed and received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior that you're necessarily going to run it. And I'm not talking about being saved and going to heaven. I've often wondered why there's tears he wipes away. And I really believe we're going to look at what we could have been doing and we weren't doing. And he's going to have, and he wiped our tears away. You know what I'm saying? I think we're going to look at what burns up in the glory and what's left. And we're going to go, oh, I wish I could have given it all, right? I wish I did. Some of us that are older wish we'd given more of our youthful energy to the Lord when we were able. Amen? Amen? And I'm not trying to be a downer today. I really am not. But I want you to hear and receive this teaching. Are you ready? Let's get into the Word. Hebrews 12, verse number 1. We're going to begin there. You know this passage well. Now, let me say this. This is the passage that follows that famous chapter 11 of Hebrews. The Hall of Fame of Faith, right? Right? And following this chapter, we get a therefore. Okay? In other words, understanding this, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with what? Endurance. Why? So we can finish. Right? How many know you can start out fast, but can you finish? Amen? Ladies, hang with me here for a moment. The massive muscle cars of the 60s and 70s, they had V8 engines, and all the guys that are older loved that sound of a dual exhaust V8. We love that. We like that rumble. I don't like electric stuff. Sorry. For all you Prius drivers. We want to feel the rumble. We want to hear that thing, you know. But there was an engine, two engines that were in Fords and Chevys, and one was a 289 cubic inch in the Ford Mustangs, and the Chevys had a 283. And those suckers were fast in a quarter of a mile because they were a short-stroke engine. Stay with me. They were a short-stroke engine. But if they were racing a big block engine, eventually the big block engine would way overtake them with top-end speed. I mean, we need to have some top-end faith. Amen? We don't need to be so fast out of the gate that we can't finish the race. Amen? Because I've seen it happen. A lot of times, come on, some of us don't finish the race from the altar call to the car. And we've got to have endurance to finish this race. Amen? I apologize for the great car debate. Okay. The race that is set before us, fixing our eyes. Everybody say fixing our eyes. Or say focus. Everybody say focus. On Jesus, who is what? Say it. The author and perfecter. I like finisher better, really, right there. That's one time I like finisher. He's the finisher. How many of you finishes what he starts? Amen? Who for the joy set before him. See, a race was set before our Lord. Amen? He endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What did he say at the end? It is finished. His race was finished. Amen? I'm not running that race. He ran that race. Are you with me? But he called me to another race that he set before me and you. Amen? For consider him who has endured such... Now, I want you to make note of this. This is important because I'm going to come to it later. Hostility by sinners. Notice that. Against himself, so did you. Do not grow weary and lose heart. Everybody look at me. The type of suffering he's talking about is the hostility that comes from the world. Amen? Not our own suffering of our own making. A lot of times we suffer because of our own stupid decisions. I'm just going to say it. We're reaping what we have sown. And don't call that the sufferings of Christ. Amen? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. And can I tell you, I don't know any other way to do that but in worship and prayer and in the Word. Amen? That's how you focus on the Lord. You look at His Word. You look at Him in worship and in prayer. And I tell you, when you do that, faith comes. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Yep. I've never had faith come to me watching TV.
No.
And I've watched a lot. And have never walked away from a television full of faith. Unless there was a good teaching on the television, amen? Or something like that, amen? Here's the bottom line. He's the author. Get this. He authorizes your faith. Right? He's the authorizing authority. But he's also the finisher. So what he authorizes, he fully intends to finish it. Now you might say, well, I know of many men and women who didn't finish their race. But can I get this? I'm going to show it to you. There is a lot of faith that started in some people that maybe they did fall away or they quit running. And it still got finished. Somebody else picked it up and ran with it and finished the job. Amen? I'll just show it to you. And this will give you great confidence and hope in what we're believing for. Amen? Now, we've got to have endurance to finish. Hebrews 11, if you go back to the chapter before this challenge from the Lord to us, if you go back to there, it starts with this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? Now faith. How many know yesterday's faith isn't going to help me now if I haven't carried it over into now? Amen? It's now faith. It's very important to understand it. How many know when you have a now challenge, you need some now faith. But what does Romans tell us? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So faith comes to the heart. It's open, obviously, to hear it. Because it's not talking about just merely hearing it audibly. It's about hearing it with your spiritual senses. Amen? And then faith comes, and then we're able to move forward in faith according to what we hear that God has for us. But can I tell you, I know I've said this before, it's a little bit of a review here, but now faith requires now hearing.
Right.
Because he didn't say, faith comes by what you have heard. Because we've all heard a lot of word, have we not? But if you're not hearing that word, present tense, you're not in faith. And that's why it's so important to be what? Quick to hear and slow to speak. Because if I'm not quick to hear, then I'm going to say something I wish I didn't say. And now I'm like eating, we use that term, now I'm eating those words. Because I didn't wait and hear what the Spirit is saying in that situation. Everybody still with me? And this is key to endurance. Because we will suffer hostility. But beloved, what did we learn a few weeks ago in that message? There's glory on the other side of the suffering that is greater. It ain't worthy to be compared with whatever you think you're suffering. The glory that He has yet to reveal. Amen? Hallelujah. That brings me great hope. Tell your face, smile at me. Okay, tell you. Here's the thing. Hebrews goes on to say this. Without this kind of faith, we cannot please God. Because you're not, what does it say? What's the rest of the verse say? For you must not only believe that He's God. A lot of people believe that. But that He is what? A rewarder of those who diligently, with diligence, seek Him. This is what we're hearing today. And the response to it is about diligence and setting the course and being diligent before God. Paul used a lot of language, of athletic language, like sporting language, racing and fighting and wrestling. He used that language to try to help us understand of the battle that we're in. And the necessity for us. We need to be on our game. Amen? None of us were called to sit on the bench and watch others run. Amen? Hallelujah. The chapter goes on to celebrate these men and women of faith. I mean, he talks about all of them. Of course, Abraham. He talks about Sarah and Noah and Enoch and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David and Gideon. And he just goes on and on. I talk about these matriarchs and patriarchs of our faith. Honoring the faith that they had. And they had great victories. It said this, that they conquered kingdoms. They performed acts of righteousness and obtained promises. And they shut the mouths of lions and on and on and on. It's amazing. And we know these stories attached with these men and women of faith, right? Women received their loved ones, their dead back by resurrection. Amazing faith. Amen? Others, though, didn't accept release when they were under great persecution. That they may obtain a better resurrection. In other words, they were willing to die for what they believed. Not that the others didn't. I'm just saying, sometimes in faith, you know, you lay it all out there, right? He goes on to say they were mocked and they were scourged and they were chained and imprisoned some. And he said this, these were men whom the world was not worthy of. Who believed God, amen? I want to say this again, and I'm not trying in any way to make anybody feel bad about it, but suffering is related to walking in faith. Yeah. It's not related. Can I tell you, if Jesus paid for it, He wants us to be in faith. I shouldn't be suffering something He paid for. I shouldn't be suffering some bondage in my life when Jesus paid for me to be free. And are y'all with me? But there is suffering, though. You can't get away from that. Romans is clear. Right? We're going to suffer because of the hostile resistance that comes. Let's be honest. It comes from sinners. It comes from some religious people. I've been probably more persecuted by religious people than I have by sinners. Sinners are kind of like, I don't care what you believe, you know. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Hallelujah. None of y'all are religious in here, right? Check your neighbors, see if they're religious. They'll have a scowl on their face right now if they are. But anyway. But we're to overcome the things He's overcome. Anybody with me? We're to overcome those things. Okay. I'm building on something. Stay with me. I really am. But when you read that chapter, you're like going, wow, I got all the victories and they got the hardship. You know? And you start to wonder, okay, what does He guys call it? He's called us to run the race and run it faithfully. And then He says something that wraps up the two verses before our therefore, where He talks to us about running our race. And I want to read them to you. It's in verses 39 and 40 of Hebrews 11. Look there with me. And all of these, talking about this cloud of witnesses, okay, everybody with me? Having gained approval through their faith, they didn't receive what was promised. They didn't receive the promise. Obviously, because Jesus had not come yet. Are y'all with me? But they actually were running a race that was going to end up with the Messiah coming. And they didn't get to enter into what you and I have benefited to enter into. Amen? Are y'all seeing that? Because God had provided something better for us. Say us. So that apart from us, that's what I want you to see. Apart from us, they will not be made perfect. Their faith will not be finished apart from us. Think about it. Because remember, Abraham had the gospel preached to him beforehand. Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundations of this world. See, this faith race has been going on a long time. Are you with me? I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but we are of much benefit to be post the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The next verse says, therefore, since we receive, have such great a cloud. That's the next verse. At the end of that chapter, the next verse says, therefore, to us, let us run the race with endurance. Amen. We got this cloud of witnesses. And how do we do it? We focus on Jesus. We focus, and that's where we were, our exhortation today was about focusing ourselves on Jesus. Amen. The author and finisher of our faith. But the us is us. Amen. The men and women of faith. But I also want you to think about it this way. It's also the next generation. The Bible refers to the next generation of the believers as the new generation. And there's the next generation. There's a generation that's going to go further than anybody's ever gone. To take us to the place of the fulfillment of God. Are you still there? I want you, just hang on with me now. Come on. I told you it's the teaching. I'm trying not to preach so I can get through with the teaching. But we're actually called a race that's actually already begun. So it's almost like we're... I love the relay aspect. We're taking a baton to continue on with a race that's already began. It's just my leg hasn't started yet. And even your leg hasn't started yet if you've not entered the race. Which is a faith race again. Amen? To do what God's called us to do. And that's the race that is set before us. I like a relay because in a relay, truly in a relay, how many of you know, like the guy coming up behind and getting ready to do the next leg, the guy that ran before him doesn't throw the baton to him. Hello? But he actually hands it to him, and for a few moments, they run together. Everybody say together. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going somewhere with this. They run together, and then eventually the one that started the race is no longer running the race. Right? Are you seeing that? And then the next guy is running, but he's running a race that was begun by someone else. Does that help? Because think about it. You don't, when you watch the Olympics, they don't, oh, here, like a hot potato, here you go. And the guy's fumbling it, trying to, no, it's a firm. And how many know that's what happens in the kingdom today when we don't do a good job of successing in ministry? Well, a lot of times, you know, some guy will ride off into the sunset and the church that he raised up falls apart. Because nobody grabbed the baton. Yeah. Are you with me? Now, I want to read verse 39 and 42 out of the message. Listen to this. Listen to this. Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, not one of them got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, get this, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. Isn't that good? That's a beautiful, beautiful understanding of that verse. And when I read that in the message, I was like, wow, that'll preach. And I believe this word, because see, brother, we need to think. I don't care if you're young or old, we need to think generationally. Amen? Yes. Now, when you become a father and then a grandfather, you really start to think generationally because you care about what's going on with your kids and where they're going. Amen? But we need to think generationally. Otherwise, we'll have no legacy of faith. The baton will have nowhere to go, and we'll just go into the cloud of witnesses, but we won't have anybody running the race that is set before us. But I believe there's some dropped batons that are getting ready to be picked up in the name of Jesus, amen? But God has a better plan, amen? Think about Elijah's mantle, his anointing. You remember that? Yeah. It fell upon Elijah, his son in the Lord, amen? And that Elijah anointing is the same anointing that it says in the book of Malachi, it will turn the hearts of the fathers, here it is, to the children. And the children to the father, generationally. Everybody say generationally. Very important for us to get this. It's not about whether the church is young or old or mixed. It should be mixed. But I'm here to say today, what God is wanting us to do is to think that way for the next generation. So we have this great cloud of witnesses. And let's be honest. If Jesus doesn't come before you die, then I hope you're going to be in that great cloud of witnesses too. We're all going to be there one day. Amen? We're all going to be in that cloud one day. I prophesy that to you. You're going to be in it. Amen. In the name of the Lord. Cheering them on. What an honor. Amen. The faithful ones will run the race. Our forefathers are a witness to us who are still on the earth. See, what God's always trying to do, you have to walk by faith in heaven. When you go into eternity, the deal's sealed, right? I mean, there's no walking by faith. There's no devil. There's no temptation, right? But here on the earth, he needs people that are run with it, right? There's some great examples. I'm going to give you a couple in just a moment, I promise. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. How important is it that we look at the men and women of faith, not only in our lives on a relational level, but even in the scripture? I think it's very, very important. Look at Hebrews 6 with me, verse number 10. For God is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name. And having ministered to the saints, and we desire that each one of you, say that's me, show the same diligence, there it is, so as to realize the full assurance of hope. What are the next three words? Until the end. That could be interpreted until it's finished. Until the job's done. Amen? Until the end. So that you will not be sluggish. How many of you running a race being sluggish is not good? Amen? But what? What's the opposite of being sluggish? Being an imitator of who? Those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Hallelujah. I don't like the word patience any more than you do. But if you don't have it, you can't endure. Amen? Hallelujah. We're to imitate the faith of those who've gone before us. Hallelujah. It's one of the reasons I believe that we study the Old Testament people like David and Abraham and Jacob. And we study them. We study their lives because it's a witness to us how to walk by faith. And we've got a much better covenant than they had to walk under. Amen. The best covenant of all. The new covenant. That's in Jesus' blood and his precious and his magnificent promises. What's our excuse? There is none. Amen. If Jesus tarries, you and I are going to see. Now, I'm not here to argue about whether or not you and I are going to be here when Jesus comes. I believe he's coming, and I do believe we're at the end of the age. But what does that mean? I may or may not see it. You may or may not see it. But the bottom line is this. If that happens, your faith is going to be completed in your spiritual sons and daughters. Amen? That will run the race after you. If we're thinking generationally. Remember, Paul called Timothy. And we love those letters he wrote to his spiritual son, Timothy. It wasn't his biological son, it was his spiritual son. And he wrote these letters to Timothy. And to this day, our hearts are spoken to by that. Because here you have a father, an apostle, who's speaking to his son. And we can learn and grow from that. Here's the thing. The faith that you and I are walking in, it doesn't end with us. Amen. Aren't you glad? It doesn't end with us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It takes a little pressure off, really. And we're going to have some faith testimonies along the way. Amen? We have some victories. But maybe some of the ultimate things that even God has shown you, you may or may not see it fully fulfilled in your life, but it'll be fulfilled in the next one. Right? And you see that in the Word of God. Because frankly, the big race, the overall race, because we all have little separate things we're doing, we're called to do. And we'll see some of those victories and things get fulfilled. And then God will say, oh, by the way, you're still running. You accomplished that, but I got something else for you. You know, that's where the race is. But when it's finally all said and done, you're no longer on the earth. That race is not going to end until the day of the Lord. That's when it comes to a finish. A lot of people want to get saved and get their wreath. Paul talked about that. They want to get saved and get a wreath, and they never ran the race. You know, like a trophy. They want their trophy for just getting saved. But you don't get trophy until you finish the race. Amen. Anybody else there with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let me show it to you. Philippians 1, verse number 3. Look there with me. Philippians 1, 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy. What do I say with joy? In my every prayer for you all. Oh, please get this. In view of your participation. Everybody say participation. In the gospel, get this, from the first day until now. Everybody say now. For I'm confident of this very thing. Come on, y'all know this verse. That he who what? What's the next word? It's key. It'll say began. He who began a good work in you will be what? To perfect it what? When is it perfected? The day of Christ. That's what is perfected. Are y'all seeing it now? So the faith of things I'm running in, I may or may not see everything that I'm believing for, but if I will run the race by faith and be faithful, it will be fulfilled at the day of Christ. Amen? Yes. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Smile. It's okay. Yes. Hallelujah. Somebody be more passionate about this as you grow older. But let me again read the Message translation of that to you. Get this. This is so good. There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it, get this, to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. Wow. That's going to be the flourishing finish, not my funeral.
That's right.
Hello? And by the way, at my funeral, please celebrate. Amen. Not that I'm gone, but celebrate. But a flourishing finish is coming at the day of the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
You can see why I was so passionate about this when I went to Alabama. Because I spoke to Pastor Mickey's church, Pastor Josh's father, and I said, guys, the race is still going. You guys are not going to sit around and sulk for the next 20 years. But rise up and let's finish what Pastor Mickey started here. Amen?
Yeah.
That's the way we got to run. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Is this blessing you? I hope it is. I love that flourishing finish. I love that. It's like, man, that's when all the cameras are going off and, you know, the confetti's in the air, kind of like the golden buzzer moment on America's Got Talent. You know, just, everybody, it's going to be the flourishing finish of faith. Amen? When the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and King. Hallelujah. Oh, what a great time. Amen? Glory be to God. And we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be like Him at His coming. Hallelujah. But we're at a crucial time in church history. You shouldn't scream while you teach, right? We're at a crucial time in church history. I believe that with all my heart. We've seen such a restoration. Really, the restoration out of the Dark Ages began with the Reformation. Martin Luther. People came back to an understanding of that the just shall live by faith. Amen? And we're saved by grace alone. Amen? That was a great, that had to be restored. People had to know how to be saved. Amen? People didn't know during the time of the Dark Ages. They were paying penance for everything. And it's insane. It's like the sacrifice of Christ meant nothing. It was what I can earn. And do. But anyway, outside of that, something happened in the early 1900s that started a restoration. And you started to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit again on believers. Much like at Pentecost, with the gifts of the Spirit. And one of them we know of well here in America was Azusa Street. Right? And the great move of the Spirit of God. And all through the last century, the 1900s, powerful things were restored to the church. The prophetic, healing, prayer, intercession, praise and worship and understanding of the tabernacle. All these things beginning to be restored. And here we are now, think about it, almost 120 years later. And there's a lot of things that got restored that much of the church is ignoring it. And yet God brought it back for us to take up that mantle and run with it. Amen? It's part of our heritage. Everybody say heritage. Your heritage will be your inheritance. How many of you ever hear people, they'll find out, they didn't even know there's some uncle or father or somebody left them something and they didn't even know it. Right? It was their heritage and their inheritance, but they never possessed it. Are you with me? I hear those stories a lot. I'm believing there's some lost uncle of mine I've never met that's left me $1 million somewhere. And he left me a beautiful home in North Scottsdale. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Think about Israel. Guys, it's just been since 1948 when they came back to their land in a miracle move of coming out of all the nations, come back to their land, and then being declared at the United Nations a nation again of Israel. And I'm not here to be political, but just this past year, America recognized that the embassy belonged in Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem's the capital of the world. Amen? And the heavenly Jerusalem is our capital. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Again, not being political with that statement. I'm just saying, if you look at the world and you look at what happened, it's amazing what we've seen restored. Would you agree with me? But I think there's a verse that'll help us. Go with me to Isaiah 49. Look at verse number 8. One verse. Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. And I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people. What is the next three words? Four words. To restore the land. You see that? And what else? To make them what? Inherit what? Desolate heritage. How is anything desolate? It's left alone, right? Right? So anything that's been given that was never possessed is desolate. No matter how good it was. Because it's not partaken of. There's many people in the body of Christ that don't partake of some of the things of the Spirit. They say they don't believe in it, but it's been given. You see, it's desolate in their fellowship, but yet it's something the Lord, they want, and I believe there's something happening. People are going to be moved, and the remnant's going to say, we're going to take hold of every part of our heritage that the Lord has for us. Amen? Hallelujah. We must inherit our heritage that has been left to us. Hallelujah. I believe this. I believe there's also mantles. Mantles of signs and wonders. I do. I believe they're lying dormant. I believe they're lying dormant. It's just waiting for somebody that'll rise up and say, hold on a minute. Because here's what the Lord spoke to me last week before I preached in Alabama. The Lord spoke to me and said, I have no need for this stuff in heaven. Think about it. He has no need for a mantle for healing in heaven. That's why it's on the earth. Are you seeing that?
Yeah.
But we're dropping the baton.
Come on.
Are y'all still there? What did Elijah do? He picked up Elijah's mantle when Elijah went up into the whirlwind. When the Lord took him up, his mantle fell. You remember that? Elijah picked it up. He asked for it. And actually, he asked for a double portion.
Yes.
And he walked in it. He walked in it. Amen? Everybody say greater. There's a little problem that comes up in Scripture, because even Jesus' disciples, who were not really trained seminary men, Bible college trained men, thank God. They said, Lord, isn't it Elijah that was going to come first? I mean, we believe you're the deal, but we're a little troubled by this because we haven't seen Elijah walking around proclaiming you. And how many of you know, we understand now because we look at it post the event, but I would have been the same way. Where's Elijah? Because he's supposed to come before the day of the Lord shall come, right? And so Jesus said to them, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. And when you first read that, you go, is coming. Well, you're already here. But he's making a point. He's speaking prophetically. Elijah is coming again. Okay, before the second coming. But then he says this, get this. He says, Elijah has already come. But nobody recognized him. And he was talking about John the Baptist, who prepared the way of the Lord. And with that mantle on him, it wasn't really signs and wonders like we would know in the book of Kings. It's signs and wonders in the sense of how all the nation of Israel came out to him in that desert and was repenting and being baptized. Getting ready for Jesus coming. Y'all still there? Okay, so it's very important we get this. This anointing, I believe, is going to be on the bride of Christ at the second coming of the Lord. Amen? And that's not totally what my message is about today, but I just want to say this. Again, why are God's giftings and callings without repentance? He doesn't take back what he doesn't need. These mantles and anointings of God and this heritage belongs to the church, and it belongs to the men and women of faith who are running the race on the earth. Amen? I'm not going to need that mantle in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen? So Elijah picked up that mantle and had a double portion of it, and we see how that's working. I believe also there's abandoned lampstands out there. Jesus said a lampstand, you light a lamp, this is what Jesus said, you light a lamp and you place it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. No one lights a lamp and hides it under a bushel. I mean, if I lit a lamp and then went stuck it in my closet and sat on the couch, you all be looking at me like, why did you just put the lamp in the closet, right? But a lot of people do that. God lights their fire, so to speak, right? and then we hide it. And God says, but I want to give you influence. Everybody say influence. That's what a lampstand does. And actually, in the book of Revelation, he calls his church a lampstand. The seven churches and the seven lampstands. Because we were always called to give light. We're to be salt and we're to be light. We're to be a city set on a hill that will not be hidden. Amen? Which we're called to be. Let's look at our nation. All the areas where Christians pulled out of. Christians pulled out of politics. They pulled out of government. They pulled out of education. Come on! They pulled out of even entertainment and arts. And we've seen a downward spiral of darkness. Because the salt and light's not there anymore. But those lampstands can be, I believe, inhabited again. Hallelujah! For the glory of God. Hallelujah! Come on, y'all. It's what God's called us to be. In fact, he said this at Ephesus. He said, get this, of all the good things that church did, and at the time that was a massive church in the city of Ephesus, they believe was over 50 to 60% converted to Christ. Think about that. And I think Ephesus was about 300,000. I've been there. I've been to the archaeological dig of Ephesus. It's amazing. And there's no church there. And I say, Lord, what happened? I remember I was flying back home with Phil Beaker, my good friend from New York. We're flying back, and I said, what do you think happened to these vibrant churches? We went to the seven churches of Revelation. We went to them in Turkey. When we were over in the Middle East, I was in Turkey. And that's where those churches are in modern-day Turkey. And we're flying back, and Phil goes, they lost their lampstand. Because this is what the Lord says. Get this now. You got to get this. He said, I have this against you. Get this. You have left your first love. And here's what I could say. You left your focus on Jesus. And when you quit looking at Jesus, you're not in faith, and you certainly can't shine. And when you don't shine, guess what? Look what he says. Remember from where you have fallen and repent. In other words, get back to where you belong, right? Or else, and I say, or else, I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place. And if we're not shining, we lose our influence in the city, in the community. Amen? Anybody want to retake some lampstands? I'm serious. I'm serious. There's lampstands, I believe, in every school. I believe there's lampstands in every community, in every job, in every building. I believe there's lampstands of authority. Let's take hold of them again by fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's got to be number one because, see, he's the one who authorizes and finishes the faith that he starts in us. Amen? So we've got to believe that way. Worship always leads to faith coming. Why that is important? Because a lot of people are fat on the word, but faith never comes. They can quote it, shout it back to you, amen, pastor, right? But if you're not hearing it from an open heart with your spiritual ears, you're not coming to faith, and we're not going to run with it. Come on now, y'all. I've heard enough word with my spiritual ears closed. I don't want to listen to God anymore that way. I've done that, but I want to be in faith. Anybody want to be with me? To walk and run this race. Hallelujah. By fixing our eyes on Jesus. Amen. Think about this. Let me give you an example. Moses dies, right? Was everything Moses believed in for finished? Absolutely not. Did God use Moses? Y'all awake? Did God use Moses? Absolutely. He used him mightily to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, right? Crossing the Red Sea was wonderful. Miracles in the desert all that time. But the job wasn't finished till they got into the promised land, right? Well, Moses is dead. Guess what? When you're dead, you can't run the race. Yeah, that's right. Y'all getting it now? So what does God do? He comes to Joshua, who's still alive. I mean, this isn't an episode of the living dead, okay? All right. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. I got a feeling Joshua knew that. What is he really saying? My man that runs the race, he's not here to run it anymore. Right? He's reminding him. Are you with me? Remember, Joshua was Moses' servant. He was his armor bearer. He took care of him. He was there with him. He saw it all. Joshua saw it all. He saw the glory in the tent of meeting. Joshua saw it all. And the Lord said, now, therefore, now, arise and cross this Jordan, you and all of this people, into the land which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. Sound familiar? Same thing he said to Moses, right? But now he's saying to Moses' spiritual son, get up and let's cross over. Get back in faith. Amen? Now, may I present this to you. If Joshua wasn't a worshiper who prayed and worshiped and focused on the Lord, How could you have ever even heard that word? And I believe when we stop and we don't repent from where we've fallen and get back to focusing on Jesus, I believe that we see this pattern in Scripture. What happens is we're not able to hear the word of the Lord, and therefore what we end up doing, we live the rest of our days with regret and sadness, mourning the passing of a great leader. I've seen it happen. People mourn for years and never really get over it. Instead of rising up and saying, I'll finish the race. Here am I, Lord. Use me and send me. Y'all there? Are y'all there? Hallelujah. Everybody on the camera, you there? Now this is powerful. Joshua heard his voice and he arose. And look what God said to him. Please get this. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you. Now here's what I want you to see. Just as I spoke to Moses. Isn't that good? Just like I used Moses, you're going to have that authority. Amen? See, that's how it works. That's how it works. Because remember, Moses is in the great cloud of witnesses. But that word to run the race is still out there in the spirit realm. Amen? He also said this. I love this. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, how many know that means all the days you're running the race? Okay? Just as I have been with Moses, there's the point of reference, I will be with you, and I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. It's exactly what Jesus said. The Helper will come. I'm going away. I will send the Holy Spirit, the Helper. He will come, and He will be with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Even until the end of the age, I am with you always. Yeah. Amen? Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. To me, the most honoring thing that you and I can do when we look at the leaders that have gone before us on a very personal level or in Scripture, the most honoring thing we can do is rise up and enter the race.
Yes. Yes.
Not just celebrate them and talk about their exploits. We've done enough of that.
Yeah.
Hello? But to begin, the only one we need to just be celebrating all the time is Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? He's the authorizer. He's the finisher. Okay? And I learn from the others, but I'm not. What I'm celebrating is the fact that I can run this race too, for the glory of God. Anybody still there?
Yes.
All right. That's the most honoring thing we can do, is to carry on with the village. Now, you might say, well, what is our destiny and heritage? I want to challenge you as a church. And interestingly, I can't go into detail, but I've heard this from a couple of people this week. I've heard this. Same thing, that God is going to restore the church like the book of Acts. So you know what we need to be doing? We need to be looking at our heritage. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
A radical, spirit-filled, with angelic encounters. I'm talking about the whole... Amen? The dead being raised. I'm talking about the book of Acts. That's our inheritance. Hello? That's our inheritance. That's what you need to be looking at. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How about the abandoned lampstands? I want you to think today. I want you to be praying. What about the places in our culture where there is no Christ? There is no light. Are y'all with me? We need to be looking at those places and saying, Lord, give me a lampstand there. Amen? And those mantles, again, of signs and of wonders. There was a lot of prophetic words that when Billy Graham and Oral Roberts went on, it wasn't that we would just talk about what they did for 40 years and do nothing, but the people, there was going to be a release of a greater anointing that those men walked in the area of healing and the area of evangelism. Amen? And so that's what we need to be celebrating. God is no respecter of persons. Amen? Hallelujah. He honors faith. Faith pleases Him. That Joshua and Caleb spirit, that different spirit. Now, when Elijah wanted the double portion, he asked his son, he knew he was getting ready to go, and he asked his spiritual son, he said, you know, what do you want from me? And Elijah said to him, he said, I want a double portion of what you have. Okay? Are you with me? And you know what he said? Get this. Here's what Elijah said. You have asked for a hard thing. How do you know? Running the race is not easy. It's not easy. To believe for big things is not easy.
Yep.
We don't like the word work, but it's part of it. He said, you've asked for a hard thing. And look what he says to him now. I want you to get this. He said, if you see me when I'm taken up from you, it shall be so for you. So guess what? Elijah didn't leave his side. until that man went to glory. Elijah never lost, he never left Elijah's side. And at that time, when he went up into the whirlwind, the mantle came down. Like I say, that mantle is no good in heaven. That mantle of signs and wonders came down. And he took that mantle, and the first thing he did is he struck the waters like his father Elijah did. And the waters were parted. And from then on, if you read the book of 2 Kings, which is about Elijah, he does twice the mighty miracles that are listed in 1 Kings. Go read it. Go read it right now. Isn't that good? Y'all receive that? I promise I'm approaching the runway. Told you I had a teaching for you today. Hang in with me. This is important. I need to put a bow on this in a way that we can receive it. There's a principle. Please hear my heart in me. There's a principle of the double portion. I like to call it the principle of increase. Everybody say increase. Here's the thing. If we don't understand it, hear my heart. If we don't understand it, then we stumble over Jesus' words. Because what did Jesus say? He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and say it. Greater works, that's exactly what it says. There's no way to spin that. Greater works than these he will do, get this, because I'm going up. I'm going to go be with the Father. Amen? When I walked in, you're going to walk in, and you're going to do it with greater works. Hello? Come on, it's a challenge, isn't it? It's challenging us. And we've got to understand that. Greater works. Jesus used those words a lot. He said, greater things than these you will see. He said, what are we told by the Apostle Paul? We will go from one degree of glory to a greater glory. Amen. We'll go from strength to strength, from faith to faith. It's always about increase. Always. If we're running the race properly. Anybody want to run it properly? Yeah. Hallelujah. Here's the bottom line. There are greater works. There really are. And the bottom line, there is a greater glory. Amen. And there's a great end time harvest after the apostasy. Amen. Which I think is already taking place. Not taking place is fulfilled, but we're seeing falling away. But there's a great harvest. Amen. The harvesting of the whole earth is going to take place. And I believe this. How about you? The glory of the latter house will be greater than the former house. Amen? It will be greater. That's the word of God. That's what we need to believe. Don't get caught up in cessation theology. Believe God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. The righteous path is what? Brighter and brighter and brighter. Until the noonday. Starts out like the light of dawn. But I believe this, the best years of the church are yet to come. Yeah. I believe that. The true remnant church of God. Our noonday glory is still on the side. And it's going to come to a flourishing finish at the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. I just want to be faithful that I've been running when he comes. Amen? I believe our finest hour is ahead of us. I love the word in Daniel says, by smooth words the enemy will come, and he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But then he said, but the people who know their God, the covenant people, everybody say covenant. The covenant people, they will rise up and do exploits because they're in covenant. And I've shared this with you many times before, but we know the verse well in Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise and shine. Why? For your light has come, and though darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the peoples, the glory of the Lord will shine upon you. So no matter how bad we think it's looking out there, the glory is intended to be shining upon you and me. The verse previous to that says this. This is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit which is upon you and my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forevermore. Then it says, arise and shine. See, we've got to be a covenant people. I believe it's going to be important that we understand generationally, but we also got to understand we are called to be discipled. Amen? It's about discipleship and discipling generations, and that's what's going to get people running on this faith race with us. Amen? It's the key to everything that we're doing. Are you still there?
Yes.
Whew, we got to think that way, beloved. We got to think differently. Amen? We got to repent from where we've fallen and get back to the right place. Amen? Got to carry on in faith and finish the race. I want to encourage you to prepare your heart. Because, you know, again, with the language that Paul used to describe walking in faith is like an athletic competition. But I don't know anybody that's successful in athletics that didn't pay a price to be successful. And you know what? You know, it's one thing to get in shape and win something. It's another thing to stay in shape and finish.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, we honor guys like the New England Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady. Now, we honor these guys that did it a long time. I guarantee you, if you knew their routine and how they kept themselves playing well into their 30s and 40s, you start to understand something, isn't it? Why are we all the more committed to our spiritual conditioning?
Yeah.
Amen. I want to have endurance, guys. I don't want to whimper out in my last days. Anybody with me? I want to go into glory. Amen. I want to finish the race. Come on. We got to do this together. Amen. We've got to be consecrated to one another. I'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. But if we're going to shine, we've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. I just want to say this to you. Choose the good part like Mary did.
Yeah.
Choose the good part. She made a right choice, and Jesus said it can't be taken away from her.
Amen.
Here's a newsflash for you. Eternal things are eternal. They don't corrupt. Amen? They don't fade away. They're eternal. The Word of God is eternal. Think about this. Every impartation you've ever received is still there. Every word that has been spoken is still eternal. Your new life in Christ is eternal. You were born again of his imperishable seed, the Word of God. Hallelujah! Everything about the spirit realm is eternal. So that's why Galatians warns us. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. So if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. You won't be lasting. But if you sow to the Spirit, get this, from the same Spirit you will reap eternal life. Amen? Things will be deposited in you that can never be taken away from you. And you need that in your arsenal when you're fighting the good fight of faith. Amen? But God has deposited within you. Glory be to God. I'm not ashamed. I have an anointing. I have an anointing when I grab a guitar and lead worship. I don't give us three people in a home group. It's an anointing that God gave me. I'm just telling you guys, God gives you things and he's imparted to you. I want to tell you, some of you need to stir it up. That's what Paul says. Stir up that gift. Stir it up. If you're a preacher, stir it up. If you're a teacher of the word, stir it up. Amen. Stir up what God's done to us. Hallelujah. Teach, Rick, teach, teach. Teach, Rick, teach. Mary chose the good part. Hallelujah. There's a verse, don't look at it, don't have time. It's in Deuteronomy. It says this. The secret things, 29:29, I think. It says this, the secret things belong to the Lord. Okay? That's the mysterious things. Hey, there's a lot of things we don't know. But get this. But the things that have been revealed, they belong to us and to our children forever. There's that, see the generation? See the generation? We've got to give it to the next generation. Amen? I love what Bill Johnson said. I want my ceiling to be their floor in the spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Nothing he's restored has been taken away. We've just got to pick up desolate heritages. We need to pick up some abandoned mantles. Amen? We need to get back on some lampstands that have been abandoned and begin to shine again in dark places for the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we may see the day of the Lord. We may not. Okay? You know, that's not really the point, really, is it? We're to live for his coming, but I'm not supposed to try to figure out when he's coming. I need to make sure I'm running the race and I'm not just sitting on the bench getting a back rub. Right? Drinking out of my water bottle, but not running. Are y'all with me? He's faithful to complete it at the day of his coming. I know I've given you this verse so many times. Did I give you 1 Timothy? There's one more there, right? Okay, look at 1 Timothy 1:12 real quick. For this reason I suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. Say, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. Get this, and this is good. I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. That day of the coming together of all of our faith. Amen? God's faithful. Think about Paul. Guys, he said this after all he poured himself out into in the early church 2,000 years ago. And it's going to be fulfilled in that day. And we're going to get to step into the celebration with Paul and Peter and James. Are y'all with me? With Jesus! We're going to get to step into that celebration. And when I get my crown, I'm going to throw it at his feet because I'm not worthy of it. Amen? Hallelujah. What a celebration. It'll beat the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
For sure.
Where overpaid singers sing off key regularly. Hallelujah. But there is a sacrifice. There is a type of suffering when you choose this route, but it is worth it. What? To the glory that will be revealed. Amen. I press through the hardship. I press through the resistance. I press through the people that question me and don't understand me. And I press through. Because I know in that day, he's going to finish what he started in Rick Bennett. Anybody with me? I believe he's going to finish what he started in Freedom Gate. Amen? In the name of the Lord. He's going to finish what he started. They say right now, get this. I saw this just the other day. I knew it was going on, but I didn't know to this degree. In Iran, let me know, most people would say Iran is probably one of the greatest enemies of Israel and anybody who loves Israel like the United States. Right? In Iran, get this, there is an amazing harvest going on in the kingdom of God. And the church there is growing so rapidly that it has surpassed the underground church in China in growth.
Wow, that's incredible.
By the way, both of these churches are underground. They don't have anything close to what we have in material things to do what they do. Are y'all with me? Okay? They're growing so rapidly, right now faster than any place on the planet. Get this. And it's simply their underground house churches is all they are. But they're busting at the seams. All over Iran. Iran! Are you with me? Where the leadership of that nation hates righteousness. Think about that. Now get this. Get this. Over 60% of the leaders in these churches are women. In a Muslim country. Are you with me? Guess what? These women know when they leave those churches, there's a good chance they will die for shepherding the flock of God. Even if it was a Muslim congregation, they would die. Are you with me? And I'm not here to attack any religion. I'm here to say today, that's what God does. But through the persecution, they're growing. I don't want to suffer, but you know what? If I know there's a glory on the other side, I can get through it. Are you with me? Here's the thing. All of the, they interviewed a lot of the church planters and the leaders, men and women. They interviewed them, and they all said this. The people, they said, what about the fear of any day somebody coming in? You know, from the, what is it called, the Revolutionary Guard or whatever they call the, Republican Guard, and just hauling you all away. What is it? And I went to a church in Turkey that lived in that fear. We went to an international church there, and you know, at any moment they could be obtained and taken in and interviewed and maybe jailed. Anyway, and they asked them all to a T. They said, what is it that keeps the people coming? He said, well, of course it's Jesus. It's real life that we've never had before. We don't care about anything else. But here's what they said. We've noticed when people are simply converted, when the persecution comes, they run. But when they become disciples, they'll die for what they believe in.
Yeah, that's it.
Why? Because when you become a disciple, you go from believing to knowing Him in whom you believe. Amen? Anybody want to get to that place? I'm serious. We are so blessed that we don't have, we think we get persecuted. Oh, beloved, please. Come on. Please. You think persecuted is somebody who makes a bad comment on a Facebook post. Are you with me? Guys, let's go for it. Amen? I'm going to try to... I just want to stop right here. There's some other things that I wanted to share. But I think it'd be good for us to pray right now. And I just want to ask you this. Ask yourself some questions. You know, am I in a place where God can use me in a mighty way? And am I running the race? You know? Thank God you have faith to get healed or get faith for this and that, and that's all fine. But what about to run the race? To be effective and to be fruitful and stand before Him. Amen? And I just want to encourage you in that. Again, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad or question your salvation. None of that. Or eternity. That's a reality. We're saved by grace through faith, period. But there is a race that is set before us. And I believe for us as a church, and I think some of the things Susan shared last week about Azusa Street. Look how that little bitty gathering of people was used so mightily. Amen? They were used so mightily for the kingdom of God. Anybody watch that video? They were used so mightily for the kingdom of God. And yet, again, don't despise a small beginning, but we still have to run the race though. Or it'll just be a small beginning. But He wants to finish what He has begun in us. And He doesn't want anybody in the sound of my voice, whether it be on the video or in this room, He doesn't want any of us to just watch the race. You'll watch the race when you're in heaven. Right? But He wants you to participate. Get off the bench. Amen? No more bench running. Amen? But let's get into that race and start to run. Everybody in this room, your part in that race will look different, okay? How you'll run it, your giftings, your talents, your what you've received from God, how you'll run it, where you'll have influence, but let's just start to run. And let's make sure, but I mean, you know, the key thing is that we focus on Jesus. Because I can't rev you up into faith. You can, that's a good word, Pastor, and that's okay. God uses preaching. But what's going to give you faith is the author.
Yes.
Amen? And the one that's going to help you get to the finish line is the finisher. It's never going to be your pastor. It's never going to be a man or woman of God. It's going to be you looking at Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
And focusing on him. So, amen? Did I receive that this morning?
Yeah.
Again, it's not a rebuke, but it is an admonishment.
Yeah.
And can I tell you, I'm preaching to Rick Bennett. I literally stood and had this all ready to go, and I preached to myself. Because I want to be a forerunner. Amen?
Yes.
And I want to go into that place. So let's repent from where we've fallen. Amen? Can I pray for you?
Yes.
Can I pray for you right now? Would you just close your eyes and lift your hands to heaven? Lord Jesus, this morning, I thank you for the people of Freedom Gate. I thank you for the spiritual family, Lord, that you've given me the honor to be a pastor of, to be a leader in this house. And Lord, I thank you for each and every one, every man, every woman, and every child. I thank you for people that I haven't even met yet that are destined to be a part of what you're doing here in this church in the days, weeks, months, and even years to come for your glory. We thank you today, Lord, for our spiritual sons and daughters who will be a part of that moving forward by faith. Because, Lord, we believe and know that whatever you have begun in us, you will complete it at the day of the Lord. So, Lord, help us to look forward to that. I break the power off of all of you of any disappointment. I break the power of frustration. I break the power of delay. I break the power of just the not knowing. I break it off of you today in the mighty name of Jesus, that it will not capture your heart and your mind. I break a Jezebel spirit of mixture, because you can't run two races at the same time. I break that off of you today in the name. I uproot that from this house, that we will be single focused on our Lord. And I bless you today to have a heart of focus, to have a desire in your heart to repent. If you have fallen from your first love, to get back to loving Jesus with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. To give your all to the King of Glory, so that faith will come into your heart and you will rise up like never before. And I bless you with endurance. Come on. The endurance and patience required to inherit those things. Now keep praying with me. I want to bless you with this right now. I just say over some of you today, four things. Are you ready?
Yes.
Now just receive this now. Just receive it. Receive it orally with your mouth. Open your mouth and just believe God with me right now. I pray for you today to be restored in your first love to Jesus. I pray that for you today. That your focus on Jesus will be fixed on him. Number two, I pray that you will have the faith to inherit the desolate heritages that are lying dormant in our Christian heritage. I declare they are restored for you to enter into them. Number three, I pray that you will have the courage to reclaim abandoned lampstands. Some of you individually have a sphere of influence that nobody else has. And God says, I'm giving you a lampstand there. If you will, by courage and in faith, rise up and shine from it. In the name of the Lord. And finally, number four, I pray for you to have the courage, like Elijah, to take up the mantles. Come on, to get excited about the mantles that were on men and women of God who have gone before us. Mantles for signs and wonders, so that we can fully preach the gospel and see many, many, many men and women and children harvested into the kingdom of Almighty God for the praise of his glory. I pray that over you, dreams, visions, to come upon your heart. And I'll say to some of you, some pathways you were on and you felt like you ran into a dead end, and the Lord says, if I gave it to you, there's never a dead end. Get back in the race. Get back in the race, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless you with that today in the name of Jesus. I bless all watching this video this week in the name of Jesus to embrace the call. Now, Lord, I pray, let each one of us, myself included, Susan, I pray this very thing, that we can recognize and see the race that has been set before us.
Yes.
And not only that, that we will do, say, I will do what I must do to be equipped, to be trained, that I might have endurance. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just release some refreshing over you right now. Some of you seek the Lord this week. Revival is coming into your prayer closet. Amen? Revival is coming into your prayer closet. God's going to breathe life into dead places. Come on. He's going to revive dreams. He's going to revive visions. Hallelujah. Glory. Some of you are going to go to work thinking, man, this is the day that revival could break out of my job. Hallelujah. And you're being renewed in that in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.